Hey, can I hear an amen? All right. If you brought your Bibles with you, I want you to go to the Old Testament, to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah. I've entitled our time together, Getting in Gear for God. This is the first step. Doreen and I pastored many years ago in the mountains of New Mexico, very close to American Indian Reservation. And I invited one of the American Indian pastors to come and preach for me one Sunday, and he told the story. He said that when he was a young boy at the reservation, his parents asked him to go get some berries, and so they gave him a couple of buckets, and he went out to the deep brush to get some berries. But the berries were only down this trail, and when he got to the trail, he said there was a big, giant spider's web that had been formed blocking his way into the trail. And he didn't know what to do. And so he sent his dogs ahead of him, but the dogs didn't want to go through the spider's web. They were afraid. And so he said he gained the courage. He called it a bug trap. He gained the courage to just tear down that bug trap and then ran in there and got the berries and ran out of there. He said 2 weeks later, his parents asked him to go get some berries again. Gave him a couple of buckets, told him to go get the berries. He said, to my amazement, I went back to that same trail, and the spider had once again blocked my path. It was an enormous spider's web. So he again had the courage to tear that down and go get the berries. And he said it happened again and again and again. And every time he went back to that place, the spider's web was just in perfectly functioning condition. You know, life has a way of tearing down what we're trying to build for God, but we can rebuild it. This Sunday, I'm beginning a new series of sermons, messages that I'm calling Geared Up. Okay, and it's about us getting in gear for God, every one of us getting in gear for God, so that we can become successful in whatever it is that he wants us to do. And I'm afraid that many church people, not in this church, of course, but many church people, they just like to sit in the pews and be okay. They just got saved, they got baptized, and they're good with everything else. They don't need to get involved in doing anything really for God. But that's not what the Lord wants, and so God just been pressing me to get into Nehemiah and start talking about getting in gear for him. So the book of Nehemiah is about the people of God rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, okay? And so this book is often used to talk about church programs, church building, rebuilding the church. But what I want to do is I want to talk about God rebuilding our lives from the inside. And as we rebuild our lives, allow the Lord to rebuild our lives, then God is going to use what we're doing to bless the church and bless our families. So I want you to, in your notes, I want you to write down the word reignite. Reignite. To get in gear for God. Let God's Holy Spirit reignite your world. And by that I mean, let God reignite your passion, your mission, your for life, your motivation, your vision. And when you do that, when I do that, then both my family and our church will obviously be blessed. Before I continue, are y'all cold? Is it good or are you cold? Can you kind of raise that up a little? And I know some people were hot earlier. It's a never win situation. Who can do that? I'll do that. Yeah, the cameras, you're going to have to follow me. Hold on a second. Because I see y'all kind of like, well, kind of set it so that it, all right, good deal. All right. So for the weeks to come, we're going to seek God so that he helps us rebuild our lives. And I can tell you, any day in your life, something may happen. Could happen that sparks your interest, sparks a reigniting of your spirit for something. You may be stalling, and rather than stalling because life has a routine and you take the same road every day and you eat the same food and you do the same things, so it gets boredom and tiresome. But any day there can be a God-given opportunity that sparks your mind into something you can do for God. You know, I was looking at the little grandson. We call him our grandson. He's been with us since he was 2 weeks old. And one thing he likes to do the same thing again and again and again. It's repetition. It's routine, right? Or not routine, but repetition. And he'll play a game and he'll say, do it again, do it again. And so we'll do it again, same thing. And he'll say, do it again. And we'll do it again. And then he'll say, can we do it again? We do it again. And he doesn't get tired of it. But eventually, somewhat he does, right? And he goes on to do something else. I heard this story, and I think I shared this story with you a while back. I heard the story of a little boy who was doing that same thing. He had a balloon, and he had a long string, and at home, inside the house, he would just let it go, and the balloon would hit the ceiling, and then the boy would jump and grab the string and pull it down, and then he would let it go, and the balloon would hit the ceiling, and he would jump and pull it down, and he'd do it again. And again, and again. And him and his daddy went outside, and he decided to let the balloon go outside. And it flew away. And the boy started crying because he had lost the balloon. And the daddy held them, not knowing what to do, right? Daddy held them, and the boy was just crying. But as he looked at the balloon, he saw a plane passing by in the distance over the balloon. And he said to his dad, Dad, next time you go on a plane, will you get my balloon back? What? That's imagination, y'all. That's a big dream. That's childlike vision. I think sometimes many of us are missing that altogether. For your notes, I want you to write down the words renewed vision. This is my prayer, not only for me, but for you, through Nehemiah, that we may catch a renewed vision of all that he can do for us, and all that we can do through him, and all that we can do for him. Because vision realized, your vision realized really has to do with you gearing up to going after that vision. I'm making it a reality. So vision begins in the mind, but vision realized means you gearing up and doing whatever it takes. I'm going to tell you why vision is so important. I'm going to use two wise proverbs as to why vision is important. You say, I don't have a vision. I don't have a dream for my life. All right, here's two proverbs that show us having a dream, having a vision, reigniting our lives is important. So here's the first one. This is from the King James Version, Proverbs 29:18. This is what the wise man wrote. He said, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's what I said. It's like where there is no vision, the people are hopeless. People have nothing to live for. Philosopher Thomas Carlyle, he said, the man without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder, a nothing, and no man. Here's another wise proverb from 1319, from the NIV version of the Bible. A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul. So when there's no vision, people perish. But a longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul. And that's what I want. And that's what you want for your life. You want to pursue something that's going to be sweet to your soul. I thought about kind of a silly statement, but you know I'm a silly guy. I write this down, please. Having vision juices you up. This is the bottom line. When you have a vision, you get juiced up by God. I thought about the Muppets. You remember the Muppets? Kermit the Frog. And who is that? Is that Elmo? Elmo? Jim Henson started the Muppets to provide wholesome entertainment for children through puppets, something no one was doing at that time when he started the Muppets. He just had a vision. Why not use puppets to bring joy to people's lives? Same for Walt Disney. You know, in Walt Disney's mind, the power of dreams shaped the world. So he dreamed. He dreamed about a place for families where they could go and have an incredible time together. But here's something I came across that just kind of stunned me. And I found this through the Message Bible I was reading. Because vision alone, y'all, can be disappointing. You have a dream and you get to accomplish it, then what? So vision alone can be disappointing. This is what the Bible says from the book of Proverbs once again. For your notes, I got ahead of myself. Write this down. A vision paired up with God is promising. So a vision paired up with God is promising. And I want to read you Proverbs 11:28 from the Message Bible. It goes like this. A life devoted to things is a dead life. You with me? A life devoted to things is a dead life, a stump. A God-shaped life is a flourishing tree. So we want a God, you want a God-shaped vision for your life. You want a God-shaped dream for your life. And then God uses that energy and that desire you have for God and that dream that you have to flourish you inside. So Nehemiah, the historical background here in the book of Nehemiah is that Israel, you know, Jerusalem was decimated by the Babylonians. They came in and they destroyed the place. They destroyed the temple, they destroyed the walls, and they took most of the Israelites who lived there captive to Babylon. Many years passed, 7-year captivity, and then some people started were let go. Ezra was let go, and when you read the book of Ezra, you see that the temple of God was rebuilt through the many years. So they let some people back to Israel, the captives that were in Babylon. They let them back to go back to their homeland, and some left, and they saw the temple, and they decided to rebuild the temple. And Nehemiah was born during those years of captivity. So Babylon destroys the temple of Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem, and time goes by, and Nehemiah is born while during the captivity. And about somewhere around 150 years, probably more, have gone by since the whole place was decimated. And then something happens that sparks Nehemiah's attention. And a dream begins to burn deep inside of him. Just one day. I mean, Nehemiah's working at the temple. All he's known is Babylon because he grew up in Babylon. And he has a job with the king. And then something happens. That's what I was saying. Any day, y'all, any day, something may happen that sparks your attention and a dream is born. Okay? So this is what happened. This is what the Bible tells us. Some people come back from Jerusalem, his brother, one of them. And this is what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I asked them, the people that came back from Jerusalem, about the Jews who had returned from their captivity and how about things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard, this is Nehemiah, the dream is about to be born here. He's going to get reignited for God, right? The Bible says that he said, when I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned and fasted and prayed to the God of heaven. So what happened with Nehemiah is something we can learn from. And my question to you is, what vision do you have for your life? What dream do you have that involves God? What could God do through you, in you? I'm asking the same questions of myself. Dream do I have? What can God do with me? You say, well, my vision is not clear at all. I don't even know if I have one. All right, so let's talk about how we gain a vision and how we get in gear for God. And this is just the first steps, basic steps. Everybody with me on where I'm going? Everybody with me? If you're with me, go like this. If you're not with me, go like this. Okay. Here's a few ideas. Number one, here's how we get in gear. It's how we get in gear for God. Number one, to get in gear with a reignited purpose / vision, ask yourself questions. Ask yourself questions. I mean, Nehemiah, that's what he did. He was like, what's happening over there? And they told him. So we can ask sort of kind of God-guided questions. And yeah, we can say, well, what is God doing around me? What is God doing in my community? What is God doing in my world? But I also want us to get a little deeper than that. And I think we ought to ask self-reflection kind of questions. So here's a question that I started asking myself, okay? So here's something you can ask yourself. As you want to get reignited for God, am I happy? Ask yourself, let's just be honest. Just be honest with yourself and with God. Am I happy? How is my walk with Jesus every day? It's just a good question. How is my walk with Jesus? And here's another question. Do I have a relationship by faith with Jesus Christ? There's some people who don't, right? Many people don't. In fact, somebody may be watching me on Facebook right now and say, I don't have a fellowship with Jesus through faith. You know, I don't know Christ as my Savior. So you got to ask yourself, am I a believer? Have I been born again? That's critically important. Have you been born again? It's just simple. You say, well, I've gone to church. I'm like, that's not what I'm asking. You say, well, my parents go to church. That's not what I'm asking. The question is, have you been born again? Has there come a time in your life when you realized you were a sinner and you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, come inside your heart, and save your soul? That's what's important. Most important in life. Here's another question. Am I growing? I mean, listen, we're doing some introspection a good word to use here? Self-reflection, right? Am I growing as a Christian? Do I read my Bible during the week? It's a good question to ask yourself. I got to ask myself, how's my Bible reading? Here's something you can ask yourself. Am I spending time alone with God specifically? Am I spending time alone with God? I mean, do you make a point to think about God? Here's a couple of more questions. What am I currently doing for God? Or for his church, right? Here's a question that I wrote down. Where am I coming short? And I asked myself, am I failing God? These are tough questions, y'all. Am I failing God? Where am I struggling? Are there certain sins I'm struggling with, but I keep them around as pet sins because I don't want to give them up? So honestly assess where you at with ask questions, right? Number two, we're talking about gearing up for God, okay? So you ask yourself questions. Number two, to get in gear with a reignited purpose and vision for your life, let God be your first reaction to everything that happens to you. Let God be your first reaction to everything that happens to you. You wake up in the morning. Here's the first thought that must be in your mind. God. Okay? The first thought that you should have in your mind when you wake up is God. You wake up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, which happens to some of us who are getting old. Okay? You wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. God, help me go back to sleep. See, God is the first reaction. God is the first one we go to. Anything that happens with your life, at any point in time, we're talking about gearing up for God. So anything, you need to train yourself. Everything and anything that happens, let your mind go directly to God immediately. Doctor says, we need some blood work. God, what's going on? Your job says, we're going to be cutting down some employees. God, give me favor with these people. First reaction. It should be your first thing. God should be the first thing in the first person in your mind. Whatever's going on. Your car starts messing up. God, your car's messing up. Everything. You got issues at home or with your partner, whatever. God, help me fix this. You want a new job? Lord, I need a new job. And you know where there's one? You see a great vacation deal on the internet? It comes into your inbox. God, is this for me? I'm just saying, let's just make God the first thought. You're struggling with a certain discipline? God, help me deal with this. Beat it. In the name of Jesus. Number three, to get in gear with reignited purpose and vision, pray. Which is what Nehemiah did. So he went directly, immediately, when he heard that the walls are torn down in Jerusalem, Nehemiah immediately said, God, can't believe that. Started crying. And then he started praying. And this is the prayer that we read in the Bible, chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. I pray to God, says Nehemiah. I pray to God, Lord God of heaven, you are great, and we stand in fear of you. You faithfully keep your covenant with those who love you and do what you command. Look at me, Lord, and hear my prayer as I pray day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess that we, the people of Israel, have sinned. My ancestors and I have sinned. We have acted wickedly against you and have not done what you commanded. We have not kept the laws which you gave us through Moses, your servant. Remember now what you told Moses. If you people of Israel are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the other nations. From this, I got four areas of prayer. Remember, this is basic stuff. How do we reignite our lives back to God? Four areas of prayer you and I need to be concerned about when we pray. Number one, for your notes. Here, four areas of prayer. Praise. That's what Nehemiah did. When he addressed God, he praised him. Lord, God of heaven, your covenant keeping God, you're faithful, you're fearsome. When you praise God, you're just telling God, you're just bragging on God. So I want to challenge you, my brothers and sisters, brag on God. We like to brag about everything else. Have I shown you my pictures about my grandkids? Oh, there's not a smarter kid around. I just want to tell you, it's just beyond his grade level. Let me just tell you why. We brag about our dogs. We brag about the things we do well. We brag about our teams that we follow. Why not brag on God? He's worth bragging about. He's big and powerful and caring and loving. So brag on God. Praise him. That's what praise is about. God and God alone. And then you praise God, you thank God. Because that's what Nehemiah did. He thanked God for what he's done. So thank God. Remind God what he has done for you. We're talking about reigniting our lives for God. So praise him has nothing to do with like, Lord, thank you for what. No. Praise him. God, you're absolutely amazing. And then thank him. And I tell you what, when you start thinking about things, you will never run out of things to thank God about. Hey, you got to church today, probably in a car. Thank God the car ran all the way here. Did you sleep comfy yesterday at 90-degree weather in Florida because you have air conditioner? Thank God for your conditioner. By the way, I still have 3 blankets on my bed because I'm not yet to summer. You got up this morning. Thank God. You're here. Thank God you're here. Thank God your brain is not all messed up. But you're here. Oh, what do you thank God about? Thank God about everything. You had a good, great weekend, fun. Thank God for it. You accomplished some things that you wanted to do. Thank God. You have a great family. Thank God. You love church. Thank God for church. What can you thank God about? Thank God for loudspeakers. I don't have to be yelling. Thanksgiving. Just break it down. Lord, one piece at a time. Thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for having a check every week. Thank you for the money I have. Thank you for the food that we get to go out to eat or cook. What? It's just keep thanking God throughout your day. Remember, Jesus said pray at all times. So you could be praising him at all times. And you could be thanking God at all times. Number three, confess. Be open with God about your sins. Own up to it. Wherever you messed up, own up. It's kind of tough, y'all. God, I did something the other day. God saw it. You're not telling him something he don't know. Confess what you've done before God. One thing that caught my attention was that Nehemiah, when he was saying to God, God, I've sinned. My people have sinned. Our nation has sinned. He included himself in the nation. He said, we have sinned as a nation. The reason why the Babylonians came and destroyed the place in Jerusalem is because they had rebelled against God as a nation and they worshipped over other gods. You read the Old Testament again and again and again. One thing God does not like is for his people to be worshiping other gods, to be paying attention to other gods more than they pay attention to him. So it made me think, boy, America has rebelled against God. Our forefathers started this nation with God as the foundation, right? But through the years, we have sort of kind of, we as a people of our nation, we have been distancing ourselves from the Lord. And we have been worshiping other gods. Now listen, you can call other gods whatever you want. But there are people who are more interested in their agenda than they are about God. And their agenda has become their God. Are you with me what I'm saying? There are people who have an agenda to gain more money. They are greedy. And so greed has become our nation's God. Our nation has sinned. Yeah, you can call it whatever you want. You can call it wokeness. You can call it gender issues. In America, people have raised pagan religions to the same level of Christianity. What in the world? Many times when you see a documentary about religion in America, Christianity sometimes, and most times, is at the bottom of the pile. What's happened? These things that we as a nation have done, they're not gods at all. I remember telling you all the story about the guy from India who had a couple of gods by the front door. One was a big, mean-looking god, and the other one was a tiny, smiley-looking god. I mean, out of like stone and pottery. And so every day the dad would stop by the front door, do his little worship and exercise, whatever he did, and he walked out the door. One day his son says to him, why do you do that? He said, because these are our gods. They protect us. They take care of us. And the son said, no, they're not. They're made out of stone. I said, they don't have any life in them. They can't help you. They can't hear you. They cannot protect you. Well, the dad got irate. Don't be talking like that about our gods. They're there for us. So the son realized they were having a discussion that he was getting nowhere with his dad. And so, big deal. So days went by. And then one day his dad was at work. And the boy took a stick and just went and beat the little god to death with a stick. He just pow, 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 left it in rubbles. And then he took the stick and he put it in the hands of the big god. And he went to his room. The dad got home. He's like, what happened here? Who did this? Well, the son comes out of his room surprised. He's like, what happened? He said, who? The dad says, who did this? And the son is like, it must have been the big god. He still has his stick in his hand. And the dad says, no, that can't happen. And the boy says, why not? He said, because they're made of stone. He can't move. He can't beat the little guy up. He can't do anything. And the son said, that's what I've been trying to tell you, Dad. They're no God at all. And here in America, we have become a nation of many gods. And the Lord is not going to honor that at all. But we need to make this personal here. And so I ask myself and I ask you on a personal level, on a personal level, you know, nothing said out loud, whatever, but it's just for you and for me as I think about all these things. What am I in my life? What am I replacing God with? You got to ask yourself, what am I replacing God for? What's become my God? What do I want more than anything in the world that doesn't have anything to do with God? A person, an experience? Nehemiah confessed to God, and then one more in the prayer. Remember, we're talking about the simpleness of stages of prayer. You praise and you thank and you confess and then you ask. That's number four, you ask. Ask God for needs and wants. And I think when you do that, you're laying before God, you're everything about you and you're depending on Him. You ask God to meet your needs. I think we get stuck on the asking part and sort of kind of neglect the others. You know, Christians, we're all about God, I need this, God, I need that. You know, God, that's where I'm at. And we forget. We ought to be praising, we ought to be thanking, and we ought to be confessing, right? That's what we ought to be doing. But we like to go jump right into the fourth one. Lord, I need this. I need that. Nehemiah heard about Jerusalem, and it sparked his imagination. I ought to do something to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So he began to pray, seeking God. And I want to tell you, the odds were against him all the way. Susa, which is the place where Nehemiah was when he heard about Jerusalem and decided, I need to do something to go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. First of all, Nehemiah wasn't a leader of any kind. Number two, he had responsibilities in the palace. Number three, he was over 800 miles away from Jerusalem. He'd never been to Jerusalem. Number four. You think about it, the odds were stacked against him. It would have been nearly impossible for him to do the job of leading a group of people to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But it began to burn in his heart. There's something I can do. Listen, y'all. There's something you can do. There's something you can do. I don't know what that is. But there's something God can use you for. Nehemiah prayed for success. That's all he prayed for. Success. Give me success, right? For your notes, write that down. When you ask God for success in anything the Lord puts in your heart. Whatever you're doing. I think it was Andy Stanley who said this. I heard this somewhere. I think it was Andy Stanley who said, what God originates, this is for your notes, what God originates in your heart, God orchestrates. He'll help you put it together. Because, you know, the question is, how in the world am I ever going to get to where I want to be? What could I do for God? Who am I? I came across an incredible verse that I shared with, I think, don't know if I shared it with the men, but I've shared it here and there. Psalm 50, verse 15 goes like this. This is what God says. This is a great promise from God. Y'all, listen, you got to memorize this, because I did the moment I heard it, the moment I read it. God said, call on me when you're in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me the glory. That's what God said. Call on me when you're in trouble, and I will rescue, and you will give me the glory. Yesterday, the Kentucky Derby happened. Lorraine and I are big-time Kentucky Derby, Preakness, and Belmont Stakes people. And at the far turn of the race, a horse by the name of Sovereignty was running 16th in a field of 21 horses. And it was a wet field. It was sloppy. It was mud. So at the far turn of the race, Sovereignty is back there, 16th. But as they keep going closer to the final turn and down the stretch, Sovereignty started getting momentum, started getting in gear. And he caught up to the front runner, the one everybody was betting on, right? This journalist horse. Caught up to him, and it was a neck and neck race to the end. Neck and neck and neck and neck and neck. But then, listen, Sovereignty was galloping, yo. He won the race. It's a big deal for those of us who like the Kentucky Derby. The odds were against him winning, but he did it. You know what came to my mind? You know, you and I may have a difficult time reigniting for God and getting going for God once again. But you worship a sovereign God who will beat all the odds. You have a sovereign God who's running by you and will not let you go. You have a God that's planting things in your heart, because he can see the future and how much he can do with you, with me. That's a great old praise song. It just got to my mind. I haven't heard this in a long time. We have a great big wonderful God. We have a great big wonderful God. A God that's always victorious, always watching over us, a great, big, wonderful God. Hold on to God. You want to get geared up for God? Hold on to Him. Because you know what we do? Like that little spider at the beginning of this message, we build these blocks sometimes that keep us from knowing Him. Could be our past, something that happened. Could be something we're doing. We tend to build this, what the Indian man called bug catchers. We tend to build these bug catchers that keep us from the goods, the blessings, the joy. And it's going to require you tearing it down. What you're going to have to tear down so you can have a path to all that God wants to do with you. It's going to take courage, y'all. Whatever the Lord tells you to do. But then, like that little spider, you start rebuilding. You start getting reignited. Amen. The Spirit of God takes over. And He helps you be where you need to be. Amen? Okay, thank you for listening. Let's pray together.
God, you are a great, big, wonderful God. And you've walked with us like you promised you would. Jesus promised he'd be with us always, even to the very end. You walk with us, God. Thank you for that. We have failed you in many ways, Lord God of heaven. Look deep in our hearts, God, and clean that up. Because, Father, we want to get reignited for you once again. And, Father, I don't know where these folks are. And, Lord, things they struggle with. But you do. And I ask you, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, that today would be the beginning of a reigniting, a new passion for you. As the believers pray, listen, you're a child of God, you're praying, and you're just talking to God yourself. But maybe there's somebody here who says, boy, I've never been born again. I've never given my heart to Jesus. You may be watching me right now on Facebook. You say, but I've never been born again. I've never given my heart to Jesus. Then I'm going to ask you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ right now. You tell him something like this. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sins. I believe, Lord Jesus, that you died for my sins, and you were buried, but you resurrected from the dead. And I believe that you're alive. And this day, I commit my life to you. I open my heart and I ask Jesus to come inside my heart and be my Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. Now listen, if you're at home or in your car, wherever you are, and you did that and you prayed that prayer, I want to tell you, miracles happened. God invaded your life and he will make your heart his home. Maybe you're here right now and you say, man, I just gave my heart to Jesus for the first time ever. I've never been born again, but I just prayed that prayer. Anybody here, just raise your hand, put it back down. I just want to pray for you. That's all I want to do. I want to pray for you. Anybody here, say, man, I just prayed with you for the first time, bro. Anybody here? Father, you alone have the plan. You alone have the blessings, the goods. You alone are to be worthy of praise. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the Bible. Oh, what a great day this is. May your name be blessed. Help us, Lord. Some of us, it may be a struggle to get reignited. It may be a struggle to have to leave behind some things we need to leave behind and tear down the things that keep us from you. For some of us, it would be a bigger struggle than for others. But God, I pray that you would reignite this congregation, and will you reignite the church of your church of the living God everywhere, that the Lord Jesus' name may be praised and more people get to know him. We love you with all our hearts, God. You're awesome in this place. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you all so much. You know what we do?